So this series is not designed to scare us. It's not designed to give glory to the evil one. I believe that through this series, God is seeking to awaken us to those areas of our lives where, as Christians, we have been deceived and we have received and accepted the lies of the evil one. That is the beginning. The next step, of course, is that we move beyond that and we, by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we not only remove those deceptive thoughts and those lies that we have believed, but we embrace the truth of God's word and we begin to live according to what God says. And that is our focus today. Here is our key Bible quote taken from Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Words that Jesus spoke. He said, as he spoke to the devil, "It is written." In other words, God has said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." What a powerful declaration. Here is Satan, who is tempting Jesus to do what he wants him to do, to take some stones, turn them into bread, and to eat. In other settings, there would be nothing wrong with that. But in this setting where Satan is tempting him, Jesus looks him eyeball to eyeball and he says, "You need to know what the truth is. Bread is not what sustains us. In that bread is not what gives us life, but our life comes from what God speaks out of his mouth." My friends, I want you to realize this morning the significance of that statement, that the very source of our life is in what God says. Some of us as Christians, we struggle to read the word of God. We find it a difficult habit to develop. We find that it's a good sleeping tablet sometimes. Don't raise your hands. We have all the best intentions in the world. We're going to set time aside early in the morning, maybe later in the evening. We're going to read what God says in his word. But for some reason, it's a struggle to get into that routine. If we're looking for an incentive, this to me is enough. To know that the very source of my life is not in what I eat. It is not in my relationships. It is in what God says. Every word that God speaks has within it, its DNA is heavenly life. As those words come out of God, they come from that perfect heart, from that almighty being, from that sense of perfection. His words are words of life. We read in the Gospel of John that Jesus was telling his followers one day that unless they ate of his flesh and drank of his blood, they would have no part of him. And the Bible tells us that many of those who were following him that day turned because they felt those words were too hard. Jesus turned to his 12 disciples and he said to them, "Are you going as well? And Peter said to him, Lord, where else can we go? Because only you have the words of eternal life. Oh, my friends, if we as the church had that revelation, we would lay down our newspapers. We would switch off our social networking accounts. We would stop surfing for information. And we would get out our Bibles and we would feed on the source of life, God's word. Peter said, there's nowhere else to go. Nobody else is telling us the things that you're telling us. Was it that Israel was short of rabbis and teachers? Not at all. There were many of them. But nobody spoke those words of life like Jesus. I want to encourage you, read your Bible. Believe it. Do it. Live it. For in this amazing book, right here, I'm holding in my hands the life of God. Everything that we have need of, every circumstance that we face, every trial that we go through, every question that we have, the life-giving answers and solutions are in here. Oh, that the church would humble itself, go to God's word, and live by it. Today, this is what we're going to be looking at. Point number 4 in our series. This is what the devil does not want us to believe, that God means what he says. Sometimes we have believed the lie that says God does not mean everything he says. And people try to evidence that. They try to support that claim because they will say, I tried it once and it didn't work. God does not mean what he says. That is a lie from the devil. You see, we often use the wrong reference point. My life experience must not be my nor your reference point. Nuh-uh. Now, praise God, I have some testimonies to tell. You have testimonies to tell. But that is not the reference point for what we believe. God's word and only God's word must be our reference point. Not what went wrong 10 years ago. Some people say to me, I don't need to go to church. And I start to ask some questions. And I find out that years ago, maybe they were let down or disappointed, or relationships went wrong, or pastor didn't appear to be kind to them. I don't need it. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. God says you need it. You need it so much that you need to break through those pains and hurts that you've got and allow the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to reconnect with the people of God. People say to me, I don't need to read God's word. Yes, you do. It's your source of life. People say, I don't need to pray. Yes, you do. You do. You need to communicate with God. And many times the reason we don't pray is because we've not learned how to pray. I've been in prayer meetings, I'm going to tell you a truth here, and I have been bored silly. Bored silly. Because what's been going on is not prayer. It's been some religious ritual. And I've been in prayer meetings, my friends, and boredom does not enter that room. The life of heaven is pulsating as the word of God comes. And this can happen in your own closet when you're praying. This is what God wants for us, to connect with him. My friend, it's time for the church. It's time for the church to believe what God says. To believe that God means what he says. I have so many people over the years have come to me and say, I can't believe it anymore. I've tried it, but I give up. Man, it's like saying, air doesn't do my lungs any good anymore. You stop believing what God says, and here is the truth. You die. Just as if you stop taking air into your lungs, you will physically die. If you stop believing what God says, you die. Because it is the only source of life. Can you hear me this morning? It is time for us to take this amazing book, to stop debating it, to stop questioning it, to stop trying to disprove it through our own unbelief, and say, God, I don't understand it, but I'm believing it. Why? Because you said it. Many years ago, my son was a late teenager, and the devil was combating for his life. Parents, you need to know how to fight for your children. Never give up on them. I said, never give up. They may look so wayward, they may look like they're playing right into Satan's hands, but parents, never give up on them. God never gives up on us. And I would sit with my son for hours, and I would just share the truth of God's word with him. And the onslaught of Satan was so great that it was blinding the eyes of his understanding. He could not comprehend what I was saying, the truth of God's word that I was seeking to bring him. And so I would finish the conversation, and I would go pray, and I would cry out to God. And I would seek the word that I could share with my son. And we would get together and I would share truth with him. He just could not see it. And so I would go pray again for days and weeks. And then one Saturday morning I sat with him. And I was pleading with him. My son, this is the way of God. And he said to me, Dad, I don't understand what you're saying. But because you're my dad, I will do what you're asking me to do. It broke. That right there broke the devil's grip. My friends, some of us, we're waiting until we understand what God says in here. And you, this side of heaven, you may not understand it. Don't think your pastor understands everything in the Bible. He doesn't. But with every ounce of the Holy Ghost's power, he seeks to believe it. And with my son, it turned. It turned as he chose to believe. He began to see the truth. And some of us here this morning, some of us listening to podcasts, we need to do just that. Stop trying to understand it. Stop trying to work God out with your brains and simply believe what God says and live according to it. You say, I can't do that, Pastor. Yes, you can. The Holy Spirit has been given to you to empower you to do it. You say to me, but I don't see it. It doesn't compute. It doesn't equate. And I agree with you. Grace doesn't make sense. It's just not fair. But do I believe in it? You better believe I do. For by grace are we saved through faith. My friend, if you're waiting to be able to academically, intellectually understand grace before you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you're going to wait a long time. it may be too long. The Bible says those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are those that have saved. Not those who understand, those that believe. I want to share with you some truths this morning that will help us to understand this about God. That what he says, he means. I want to say this. Don't be afraid of absolutes. Our modern society has turned its back on absolutes. It prefers to debate. It prefers to accept. It prefers to embrace untruths and lies so that it can be politically correct. But my friends, there are things that you will read in this Bible where God speaks with absolute surety. He says, there is only one way to have your sins forgiven. That's absolute. He says, if you do not forgive one another, my heavenly Father cannot forgive you. That is absolute. Don't try to add little clauses, except when. Nah, absolute. Matthew 7 verse 21 says, Jesus said, only those that do the will of my Father will enter the kingdom of God. Absolute. We may not like it. If God speaks to you about forgiving somebody and you don't want to, you may not like it. But you sure better do it, because that's an absolute. Don't be afraid of absolutes. So much of the Christian, in inverted commas, world today has shifted from the absolute of God's word. It's time to shift back to it. Did you hear me? Amen. Here's point number one. God will always tell the truth. God always tells us the truth. Numbers 23 verse 19 says this, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? With God, his word is his word. If he has said it, he will do it. It is impossible for God to lie. It's not possible. It's not possible. If God has said it and I have not seen it in my life, it is not because God has lied. The Bible says that God is watching over his word, ready to perform it. It says that in just the same way as the rain and the snow comes to the soil of this earth to water it so that the seed can shoot up and bring forth a harvest, so is God's word. It will not return to him void, but it will accomplish that for which he sent it. These are the words that we need to have in our hearts concerning God's word. Never, ever think that God does not mean what he says. He cannot lie. It is impossible. The Bible says here in Genesis chapter 1 that the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, Garden of Eden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat thereof you will surely die. Did God mean it? Absolutely. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they took of that fruit, they died in their relationship with God spiritually. Death with sin came into their lives. They died. God meant what he said, and he hasn't changed the way he talks. Number two, getting us to question God's word is an age-old strategy of the devil. It is not modern man's smart way of doing things that questions what God says. Please feel free to go into your science labs and question formula and methods. Question it. Go into any other arena of life and question it. But when it comes to God's word, there is no space for it to be questioned. For God's word is the greatest authority. It is the source of life. But the enemy, his strategy is to come into our minds and to cause us to question. Back in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3, the serpent was more crafty or cunning than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any of the tree in the garden?" And Satan will come into our minds and he will put that question mark upon God's word. If you start to believe in those question marks and you start to question yourself the authenticity of God's word, you will end up disbelieving it, doubting it, just as Eve and just as Adam did. They looked at that fruit and saw that it was good to eat and that it would make one wise, and they took of it. That is the slippery slope that you go on when you begin to question and doubt what God has said. People will tell you today, "Oh, you don't need to believe in Jesus. That's not the only way to get to God. As long as you're good, you're kind to people, as long as you're sincere and genuine, then God is a God of love, and when you die, he'll look favorably on you." No, he won't. He won't. He will say to you, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you." But the devil loves to get humans to question. And some say, "Well, God would never send someone to hell who's never heard the gospel." Yes, he will. Yes, he will. The Bible says he will. And we spend so much time debating theological questions like that. And all the time, God is saying, "Don't debate it. Go and tell those who have never heard." That's what Mountain Child is all about. We're taking the gospel to people who have never heard of Jesus because they deserve to. It's what this church is about, reaching the lost, raising disciples, equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Why? Because God has told us to do it. And we're not going to sit around and debate theologically what should happen, when is this going to happen. We're just going to get on with it. We're going to do what God told us to do, and that's go and make disciples. That is God's will. That is God's word. For every believer, every follower of Jesus Christ. But the devil comes in and says, "Oh, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. Just be a nice little comfortable church." And God says, "No, go and plunder the gates of hell. Go and populate heaven and preach the gospel to every creature." It's an age-old strategy that Satan uses. Don't fall for it. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean to say that it isn't true. How many of you drove here today? Let me see your hands. Okay, less than I thought. Of those of you who drove here this morning, how many of you understand the mechanics of the internal combustion engine? Let me see your hands. Not so many. But you still sat in that car, put the key in the ignition, or if you've got a really smart car, you spoke to it and said, "Start," believing that that engine would kick into life and as you put your foot on the accelerator or the gas pedal, you'd get here. True? True. Then we should put that same faith and belief in what God says, and more, and more. Next point, the devil will always suggest a more attractive alternative. My, does he ever? Does he ever? The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Kings of a man who was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. Really successful military guy. He had a problem. He had leprosy. His name was Naaman. And through the word of one of his maidservants, he heard that there was in Israel a prophet called Elisha. And so he went to visit Elisha to hear the word of God. Smart move. Smart move. What do you do when you get sick? You reach for the medicine cabinet? If you want to, I would reach for God. I said, I would reach for God. And this man was seeking and reaching for God. So he goes to Elisha. He went to the king first, caused a bit of a stir there, went to Elisha. And Elisha sent his servant with a message and said, go dip in Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed of your leprosy. Bible says Naaman became furious. Furious. And he went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me. Elisha didn't even bother to come and talk to me. And stand and call on the name of the Lord and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. You see, Naaman had his way that he thought it would happen. God had his way. And Elisha had told to him, you need to go and dip in that river Jordan, in the river Han, where all the sewage spills into. In England and London, it would be the River Thames. And he said, are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? God says to you, if you're sick, if there's any sick amongst you, James says, go to the elders, they'll anoint you with oil, lay hands on you, and the prayer of faith will heal you. And we say, that's not the way I want to do it. I don't want God to work that way. I want God to work this way. Interesting. We want God to prosper us in our finances, but we're not willing to tithe. Okay. I want to do it my way. Frank Sinatra used to sing a song about that, didn't he? Don't worry, I'm not going to try and do a rendition. I did it my way. Smart? No, not really. Pretty foolish, actually. All we like sheep have turned astray. We've turned everyone where? To his own way. We're trying to get God to do things the way we want to do it. We're trying to live in peace with our brothers and sisters, which really means we want them to agree with me. That's what peace in our mind is. We're not willing to give and to forgive. We want everybody else to fit in with us. And Naaman wasn't prepared to go into this beautiful river Jordan and dip 7 times. He was too proud. Praise God, he had a servant who talked him into listening to what God said. And it was when he obeyed God. Interesting. That he saw the hand of God heal him. And the Bible says his flesh became new like a baby's. The devil will always give you some alternative that seems more attractive. Oh, you don't need to forgive them. Nah. God knows how much you were hurt by what they said. God will take care of you. No, that's not God at all. God says, forgive them. Forgive them. Oh, it doesn't matter about the lost people who have never heard about Jesus. It doesn't really matter. God will take care of them. No, he's told us to go. He's told us to go. Next point. Disobeying what God says brings consequences. So many times we try to live in this place. How far can I live away from what God says before God gets upset? Don't put your hands up, but Ever been there? What can I get away with? Can I get away with one lie or two lies or one little glimpse at that pornography or maybe that little white lie? It's white's a good color. God likes white. He's got a white beard. So white lies are okay. We try to see how far we can go before God kind of yanks the slack out of us. Yeah? But disobeying God has consequences. God spoke to a really wise man, the wisest man that's lived on this earth, save Jesus, the man called Solomon. And he said, Solomon, do not marry women from foreign countries, because if you do, they will draw your heart away from me. For your homework this week, read 1 Kings 11. Solomon did not obey what God said. He fell in love. Guys, don't marry the person that you fall in love with. Because if you fell in love, you'll fall out. Marry the person that God gives you. He fell in love with these women. Sure, they were beautiful. Absolutely, probably stunners. He fell in love with them. And the Bible says that when he was an old man, these women pulled his heart away from God. He built and worshipped at the idols and altars of foreign gods. There is consequences to disobeying God. Some people have said to me, oh, I fell in love with this person. It must be the right one for me. I say to them, number one, do they love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their hearts? Oh, yeah, they do. Okay, good. Some say, no, but I believe that I'm a Christian and I can get them saved. It's not what the Bible says. Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Simple, clear, plain. Oh, but I fell in love. This love must be of God. Get over it. I'm serious. Get over it before it consumes you. Oh, yes, they're a Christian. Are they living for God? Well, they're going to church, but, you know, this is kind of bigger in their life than God is right now. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. If you're not married, I'm giving you some wonderful advice. Set that standard so high that only the person that God gives you can meet it. And I'm absolutely serious. Someone who is sold out for God. Girls, don't go for the macho guy, the guy with the rippling muscles or the big bank balance. Don't go for those. Go for the one who's laid his life down for the purposes of Jesus. If he won't lay his life down for Jesus, he won't lay his life down for you. Telling you the truth. Guys, don't just go after those beautiful looking women who flash their eyelashes at you and mesmerize you with their perfumes and entice you into their arms and make you all sorts of promises, but don't love God with all of their heart. Now, say, good to know you, we'll be friends, but my wife is one who's going to be sold out for God. Because if she's not sold out for God, if she's not respecting God, she won't respect you. Bottom line. So if you're looking for a husband or wife, become Christ-like. That is the most attractive person in the world. Someone who is Christ-like. So there we go. There's your kind of premarital counseling session thrown in for free. Hey, you can't say you get a bad deal here. Disobeying God has consequences. Obeying what God says also has great consequences. Look what it says in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed. Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, the one who doesn't listen to the lies and the deception of the evil one. Nor the one who stands in the path of the sinners. What does that mean? Well, everybody says that God's word is only partially true. That's the path of the sinner. Don't stand in it. You know, when you read God's word, you got to realize that it's cultural. You got to realize that it was written a long time ago. and things have moved on, and it's kind of a bit outdated. That's the path of the sinner. When the Bible says to your husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church and gave himself for her, of course, that was for the church then, and it isn't quite so relevant today. That's the path of the sinner. You getting my drift? Yeah. Don't sit there. Don't walk there. Don't walk there. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful, those who despise what God has said, because perhaps they didn't see it in their life. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates on it day and night. My friend, if you're facing an adverse situation right now, don't meditate on the situation. It just makes it bigger. Meditate on the law of God's word. Get into your Bible and see what God has got to say to it. Don't talk to God about how big your problem is. Talk to your problem about how big your God is. And you start to see it come into perspective. Believe in God's word. What is the result? He shall be like a tree planted by streams of living water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's the consequence for those who will believe in what God says, who believe that God says what he means and means what he says. Praise God. Living by what God says is our source of life. We've talked about this, where Jesus said, bread alone is not what I get my sustenance from, but from every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Isn't it true that we hang on the words of politicians and world leaders and economists? We hang on their word, and upon what they say, we determine what our life is going to be like. I say, let's hang on God's word. Let's wait on him. The Bible says those that wait on him, Isaiah 40, they shall mount up as on wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do you know what it means to wait on the Lord? It doesn't just mean this. To wait on the Lord means to join yourself and become as one with him. That's what that means. Those that make themselves one with God, they're the ones that will soar up with wings as eagles, soaring over those circumstances and situations, because our source of life is God's word. Last point, let's believe what God says and see his promises come to pass. We could spend the rest of our lives looking at the promises of God. I want to whet your appetite with this one. John 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, as if Jesus needed to say those words, as if his word was not enough. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Where is Jesus right now? With his Father. Do you think this promise, this word, is then true? Absolutely. Absolutely. So many people say to me, oh, God doesn't use me. I say, do you believe on his word? Of course I do, I'm saved. Do you believe that signs and wonders and miracles will follow those that believe? Well, I think that was just for the early church, wasn't it? There's your problem. There's your problem. Jesus said, the works that you've seen me do, you will do. You will do. My friends, I'm of the persuasion that we have probably barely tapped into what God's will is for his people today. I believe with all of my heart that we are standing on the brink, on the edge of the church becoming something that it has been in, that he intended it to be, that beautiful, spotless bride, the body of Jesus Christ, bringing into this earth the kingdom and the will of God. It will happen when the church believes that God means what he says. Because when we believe it, we will act upon it. We will act upon it. We will do it. And I want to encourage you, as we go from this place today, or as we're listening to this on podcast, begin to read the Word of God, number one. Number two, read it with this knowledge that God means every word that he says. Number three, pray to the Holy Spirit, the one who will empower you to put that word into action in your life. And don't limit God. Don't restrict him. I come from a very, very, very strict traditional church background. And I'm telling you things today that I have worked and lived through. It was a Bible-believing Christian background, but it was restrictive in certain ways. And I've had to learn how to let the Holy Spirit teach me the Word of God, that it's real, it's powerful, it works, it's true, and God means what he says. And I can tell you 100% that every time, without fail, if we will believe, we will see. We will see if we will believe. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Father, I guess as we say these words, we thank you for your word. It means a new thing perhaps to us this morning now. I thank you for every lie that's been broken in our lives, every deceptive way of Satan that has blinded us and distracted us from the truth of your word. I thank you, Father, that you are faithful in your word and you are faithful to it. That if you have spoken, then you will perform. It is not possible. It is not possible for you to break your word. Father, I thank you that through these scriptures that we have opened up, the light has been switched on in our hearts. I thank you, Father, that you replace the darkness that has been there with the light and the power of your word. I thank you, Father, that you give us faith to believe, faith to follow, faith to obey, faith to embrace your word as truth and to live by it and to see its power in our lives. We praise you for this, Father. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. You know, the Bible says that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Perhaps as you're here listening to this message, you've never done that. You've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you have been pursuing some other means of trying to gain God's favor, to gain access to the presence of God. This is what the Bible says. There is no other way. There is no other name given amongst men on heaven or in earth by which we must be saved. I want for you this morning to receive that as truth in your heart. And right here and right now, you can begin to take those steps to God. We're going to pray in just a moment. And if you say to me, Pastor, I've never repented of my sin. I've never asked God to forgive me. And I want to do that right now. I want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to help you take that first step. That first step towards God and a life serving God. And God will meet with you. He'll forgive you of your sin. He'll cleanse your heart. He'll make you into a new creation, the Bible says. So if you say, John, pray with me because I want to give my life to Jesus, just as we're in prayer, just so that I can see who I'm agreeing with and praying with, could you quickly slip your hand up and then down again, and then I can see who I'm praying together with. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. This is taking that first step. First step towards a life serving God. Anybody else this morning says, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender my life to Him. I want Him to become my Lord, my Master. I want to live my life serving Him instead of myself. Anybody else this morning? Praise God. And for you who raised your hand, please pray this prayer after me. Say, God, I thank you for giving Jesus Christ, that He died for me. He bore the punishment of my sin so that you, God, can forgive me. Right now, I bow before you and repent of my sin. I receive your forgiveness. And I choose to live my life obeying and serving you from today onwards. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who fills me with His presence and His power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.